in-depth and God-filled conversations with some of the brightest names in contemporary Christian music and worship. This is The Artist Interview with Gordon T.
Hey, this is Emerson Day, and this is my episode of The Artist Interview on Hope FM.
He's a grave robber, devil's topper, under his feet he'll stay forever.
That track was Grave Robber by Emerson Day, and I'm so pleased Emerson is with us today for the Artist Interview. Hey Emerson, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, thank you.
It's great to have you with us, and I've got to say, as far as I know, that's pretty much, for nearly all the listeners listening, going to be the very first time they've heard a song by you, because the songs have not come out to radio. It's a little bit of an exclusive over here in Europe, probably on numbers of stations worldwide playing it as well, so it's a special treat to have your music and you telling us a little bit about it. But before we hear about the music, it'd be great if you could rewind time. In fact, I'm looking at you thinking, you can't rewind time that far because you look quite young. How old are you, Emerson?
I am 29.
29. See, it's a dodgy thing to ask a lady your age, you get in trouble, but I think I got away with it because you're quite young. So rewind time, though, to going back as far as you want, and tell us a little bit about how music came into your life, what your background was, and how also you became a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Like you said, this is my first, you know, interview worldwide here. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, you know, as far as me, I grew up in a really small town, and I loved music from a very young age, pretty much as long as I can remember. Like, as far as my memory goes back, I've been writing and singing songs. So it's kind of amazing how God planted that seed so early on. And for me, it was just a passion and a joy growing up, just something I turned to for creative outlet. And, you know, as I got older, I actually was really into athletics. So I started playing sports at a young age. And as I went through grade school and high school, that kind of took the forefront of, you know, what I was into at that age. I was all about sports. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with this particular sport, but I played lacrosse all through high school.
It's the one with sort of like, it's like a tennis racket that's a scoopy thing or something, isn't it? Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Never played it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, so I played that, and that kind of took the forefront for me for a while, and I went to college for that sport, and I had it all figured out, planned out as far as what I was going to do with my life. I, you know, did every internship, aligned every job opportunity, knew what I was going to do when I graduated, and I wanted to do law enforcement, which was very not.
Do you mean be a copper?
Yes, yes.
Okay, or a cop, as you would call them in the States. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you want to be, yes, a policeman, police person.
Exactly. Which is totally not the same thing as music. That's like way out in left field from music. So, you know, when I graduated college and was pursuing that, there was just something that the Lord put on my heart that just told me I wasn't supposed to do that, that I was supposed to do music. And I was kind of like, I don't know what to do with that because I hadn't studied it. It's not something that I was pursuing as a career. And, you know, growing up, we always went to church as a family. I was very lucky that I had two parents that loved me enough to take me to church every Sunday and talk about God in our household and pray every night. And I was introduced, you know, to Jesus at a very young age. I actually gave my life to Christ when I was about 8 years old. I knew from a very young age that, you know, Jesus is who I wanted to follow. And so when, you know, I graduated college and had that moment of, I think God is telling me to do something different, I was pretty scared because up until that point, I haven't had that concrete moment or direction in my life. So I rejected that pretty hard for about a year. I ran from that and I tried to do it my own way. I tried to pursue my own thing until finally the voice was just so loud, I couldn't ignore it anymore. And I actually was pursuing federal law enforcement, which would be like a three-letter agency. So like FBI, ATF, if you're familiar with that, that was what I was going for. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that process takes a really long time as well. So they finally called me and said, hey, you know, you've made it through the process. Like, you know, we're ready for you to come to training. And I actually on that phone call was like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to decline, you know? And
you don't
do that. That's not recommended, you know? He's like, are you sure you want to do that? Like, there's kind of no going back if, you know, you say no to this. And I was like, yep, I'm saying no. And I remember just hanging up the phone and being like, God, what do I do now?
You know? Yeah. Wow. So just to check. So for a year, you had the feeling that this was what you meant to be doing. You meant to be doing the music stuff. And you said the voice got louder. So tell us a little bit. I just want to understand. How was it you were feeling this call into music and away from what you've been heading towards and planning?
So for me, it's almost like God just created this distance and this separation for me, just kind of like in my, you know, soul towards this law enforcement thing. I mean, this was a dream of mine that I wanted to go do since I was probably 15 years old. And all of a sudden, there just became this like wedge between me and this dream and this thing to where it was almost like I didn't want to do it anymore. Like I just felt this feeling of this is not for me. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And it just like slowly created almost like a dark cloud over this law enforcement thing to where it was like, you know, this is not what I'm supposed to do. And I'd been praying about it for a long time. Like, you know, God, where are you calling me? And I felt like I kept getting music, which I did one thing in college that was music related. I mean, I had a guitar under my dorm room, you know, bed in college, and I would take it out and play and write. But I wasn't actively pursuing music in any way, shape, or form. I did one thing in college. It was like for college students, it's similar to like a fellowship of Christian athletes. And it was basically a bunch of college students and you worship and you study the word. And they asked me to play one night for that. So I led worship there. And that was pretty much the extent of it. And so I felt like the answer I was getting was music. And that terrified me because I had no experience in that. I wasn't pursuing it. It was like my little girl dream. I love singing and playing, but I never was like, oh, that'll be my actual career, you know? And then one day I was actually driving down the road and my local Christian radio station was promoting this. It was called Actors, Models, and like Talent for Christ. Like come, you know, audition and like they give you feedback basically. And I—
So where in the world is that station?
Okay, so this is in Maryland. I grew up in Maryland in the United States. And so that was our local station there. And I heard that, never really thought twice about it. And then every single time I got in the car, that ad would come on. And I was like, okay, I'm going to look this up. I just feel like I'm supposed to look this up. There's just something to it. So I looked it up and every audition site was a major city. So it was like, you know, Philadelphia, Baltimore, like all these major cities that I had to drive a good, you know, say 4 or 5 hours to get to. And then there was one place, one audition site that was not like anything else. In my hometown, about 20 minutes from where I lived, not in a major city, like in the middle of farm country. I have no idea why there would be an audition site there. And I was like, okay, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. And their motto verse was Isaiah, I believe it's 6:9. And it basically was, here I am, Lord, send me. And I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to go do this. So I signed up. I went that week and auditioned. And the lady that auditioned me was like, I think you have a future in Christian music. Like, I think you're supposed to do Christian music. And I was like, wow, this is kind of crazy. So there was just little moments that I feel like I can't really explain otherwise than God was dropping these breadcrumbs for me.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's awesome.
You know, what's crazy is as soon as I hung up the phone, I had like a brief, you know, moment of panic, like, what am I going to do now? It was followed by instant peace. Like the dark cloud that was hanging over that decision, you know, all of that kind of like internal turmoil that I felt about it was completely gone. And in that moment, I just knew, okay, this is the right decision. This is where he wants me. So this is where I'm going to go. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but like, God, I will go, you know, and kind of remembering that verse, like, here I am, you know, send me. And then for about, I would say 6 years, I pursued music before I got to say, you know, where I am now, where I'm doing it professionally. And now I'm a signed recording artist. But for 6 years, I performed live all over the place. And despite that experience with Christian music and having, you know, that lady at the audition say, you know, I think you have a future in Christian music. The only thing I really knew, my background in music was actually country music. And so I started playing and opening for a local band in my area doing country music. So I was playing with them four nights a week doing country music, and just kind of, it was an uphill battle the whole time. Like, doors were not opening. It was a struggle. And then I started leading worship at my church in...
Oh, tell me about the church. What's your church like?
So,
where is it?
Okay. So at that point, I had gotten married. I moved to North Carolina, and we actually are in my husband's hometown now in North Carolina. So it's down south, and it's this little Southern country church. And it's called First Baptist Church of Mebane. That's, you know, where I led and where we live now, and we love it. And so when we moved there, people were like, hey, like, we know that you do music. Like, why don't you join the worship team? Like, why don't you, you know, come sing with us? I'm like, okay, like, that sounds great. You know, I'd never really done that before. So I was like, okay. And so I'd been doing that for a while, like a couple of months. And I remember being up there leading worship, and actually somebody like came forward and gave their life to Christ. And I just remember this like clarity of, oh yeah. Like, she said, I'm supposed to do Christian music. And I'm like, I see it. I get it. Like, that's what I want to do. And after that moment, it was just kind of the confirming thing. That's like, this is what you're supposed to do. Like, this is how I want to use you, is through Christian music. So I started pursuing Christian music, never looked back. And I just started praying, you know, really just boldly asking God to make the way for me and to intercede, because North Carolina is not anywhere close to Nashville.
Yeah. Not, it is not the center of the Christian music universe, is it? It's a little bit on the periphery there.
Yeah, it is not. And so I was just kind of praying, like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know anyone in the music industry or the music business. I don't know the first thing of how to go about it. But again, like, I'm willing. So God, if you will use me, like, send me, you know, just kind of going back to that theme. And I just had a season of just really praying for God and asking him that if that's where he wanted me to go, like, to open the doors. And within probably like 2 weeks, I had a message through my Instagram from a management company. And that's how I met Jason Davis, who is my manager now. And he really helped me navigate, you know, the music industry and introduce me to the right people. And
So was that because they'd seen your posts on Insta and they just, and that doesn't happen often. I've heard it once before where someone's social just got picked up and that's how they ended up with a record contract in Nashville. So so Jason, he's got numbers of artists that he manages. Can you just name drop some of the other people on his books?
Yeah, so Austin French, Megan Woods, and a few people for that he worked with previously were Ann Wilson, Luke Bauer. So he has had, you know, definitely a big hand in a lot of Christian music over the past, you know, few years. So
yeah, and they're people who've had it depends upon how you measure it, but I'm gonna say success in the music industry. I think that's a fair way to describe it. Also great people. So you connected. It just sounds like an answer to prayer. It really does from where I'm sitting. You connected with Jason, and he said, hey, your music's great. I want to meet you. Come and chat to me. What happened? How did that all come about?
Yeah. So, and again, you're right. Like, social media is such a big sea, right? Like, I felt like one drop in this giant, you know, sea of people and talent. And the fact that, you know, that one video or like any video, say, per se, on my socials was flagged or caught somebody's attention. Like, it really does feel, I mean, I know it is a God thing. I just don't know how else that would come across, say, like, his feed. So yeah, they contacted me and he was like, hey, I want to sit down and I want to meet you. I want to talk. And so I met with him and, you know, we just kind of discussed everything in detail about, you know, the industry and one, how it works, just because I didn't know anything about it, you know? And then two, just where I wanted to go as an artist and what my vision was and direction. And he really, one, helped shape that, but two, really partnered with me in that. And supported what that vision was, and, you know, really put me in the right rooms that I needed to be in Nashville with the right people. And eventually, I mean, that's how I got my record deal, is through him introducing me, you know, to the right people.
So you're on Fair Trade, which is a great label with people like, well, Austin French, Skillet, CC Winans, just a whole plethora of great, great artists with so much talent and such a great track record as well. And they do an interesting thing with regards to the ownership of the music as well, which other labels don't do to the same degree. So I believe I'm right in saying that you have an awful lot of control and ownership of your actual product, which is unusual, isn't it?
Right. It is. Yeah, absolutely. You are correct in that. Yeah. And that's what's so cool too, is like just the people that you're mentioning, you know, to be alongside or be on a label with artists that are at that caliber, you know, is pretty incredible. So I'm super fortunate, you know, for them and to them for, again, partnering with me and believing in the music, believing in the message. And it's just been a great experience so far. So and very thankful.
One of the artists that I didn't mention, of course, is the wonderful Micah Tyler, who I've actually been on a video set with him when I was over in Nashville. And he's just the most likable, warm, friendly guy that I think I've ever met. Really, really great. And obviously a very gifted, great musician as well. And that is actually where I have heard your name before, because I think you were on one of his tracks. What track was that?
Yes, People Like Us is the latest track that I get to feature on. So it's People Like Us, Micah Tyler featuring me, Emerson Bay. And I'm super excited to be a part of that. Just the message of that song spoke to me so heavily the first time I heard it, that, you know, it doesn't matter kind of what we're going through, where we've been, whether we're in, you know, the mountaintop moments or we're in the valley moments, like God's love doesn't change for us. I think that's super powerful. So I was really thankful to be a part of that message and sing on that song. And yes, to your earlier point, Micah is a very charismatic, just awesome, awesome human being. He's just an incredible person. He's super funny and just kind of took me in and was willing to, you know, bring me along for this message and this song. And I'm really fortunate to be a part of that. God loves people like you, 'cause God loves people like me. A lost and hopeless sinner, but mercy has redeemed. And if you feel like he don't, the cross is proof that he does. Praise the Lord.
Just a snippet there of People Like Us. What a cracking song, and what a great opportunity. Getting on that label is going to enable you to actually work alongside people who are ahead of you in the game. But clearly as well, the fact that you're being given these opportunities means that your work stands on its own two feet as well. So which is exciting, because you've got three tracks and we're going to get to hear all of them during the course of this interview. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the second track we've got, which is called Middle of a Miracle. Tell us all about that.
Yeah. So this song in particular is so special to me, because I feel like on some level, it's not even mine, right? I mean, I feel like all songs truly are God-given, but this one just felt extremely special to me in a different way. I was actually driving down the road and I just had this title pop in my head, just driving down the road, Middle of a Miracle. Popped into my head, and I was like, wow, that's such a great title. Like that's an amazing thought. It's an amazing title. And I can remember the whole time I was driving, like I kind of couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't put it away. And so I got home and I came into this room. This is like my music room. I sat right here in this chair with a guitar in my hands, and I started pen and paper, just writing this song. And some songs take me months to write and to perfect. Some songs take me, you know, really like an hour. I mean, it could be really short, but I had a verse and a chorus to this song in about 20 minutes. And it was one of the fastest, most easy, just flowed right out songs I've ever written. And I feel like part of that is, you know, the Holy Spirit. It just felt God-given. And I can remember when I finished just the first chorus, I just wept over this song because I just felt the power of how this was going to help people and bring people hope and, you know, just remind them that no matter what storm they're in, you know, God is with them and there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, you may not always be able to find what that is or see or define what that is or see what that is. But, you know, the Bible says like he works all things out, you know, for good, for those who believe him. And, you know, just the scripture though, that I really thought of when I was writing this song that really brings everything home for me is Jeremiah 29:11, but it's not just 11, it's 10 as well. And Jeremiah 29:11, most people are familiar with it, but it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future." And I had always loved that verse and felt like it was such a, you know, a hope-giving verse, and I'd heard it many times, but I never went to what happened before. I never went to the precursor to that and what happened before that promise was given. And so Jeremiah 29:10, the backstory is basically Israel has now been in captivity for years and years. And so they're in a foreign country, they're in captivity, they're dealing with a lot. And what verse 29:10 says, and again, I'm paraphrasing this, but it says, after 70 years of Babylon is completed, then I will bring you from this place. And I was like, wow. And then it goes into verse 11, for I know the plans that I have for you. But what's crazy about that is 70 years of captivity had to take place before truly the miracle happened. And he brought them from this place to that place. And so when I was writing this song, it's not about, you know, this instant, say, gratification thing that's going to happen, right? It's about trusting God through the process, through the hard stuff. It's about trusting that God is who he says he is, whether you feel like, you know, you can see that in your situation or not. And that's really the message that drove this song, Middle of a Miracle.
You don't see it, but you're right in the middle of a miracle. You can't feel it, but under your feet the roots are taking hold. Don't forget that with God all things are possible. Doesn't matter if it's broken or just ashes, there's hope. You're right in the middle of a miracle.
And that was Middle of a Miracle by Emerson Day. Thank you, Emerson, for all of you shared so far here on The Artist Interview. It's great to hear your story and the way that God helped direct your life and turn your direction around to bring you into Christian music and then open those doors so miraculously. Absolutely brilliant, wonderful stuff. But also that song is just so powerful as well. I'm sure that there's many people who, as they listen to it, were just touched and impacted by the lyrics and also the thought that in the middle of it all, God's still got a good plan for them and his love never fails. So if you'd be happy to pray for listeners right now, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. God, we just come to you with just open hearts, God, with thankful hearts that you are who you say you are, that you are sovereign, that you are all powerful. God, that you know every hair on our head, that you knitted us together in our mother's womb, that you knew us before we were even created. God, I just thank you for knowing us so intimately and being so close. God, I just pray that you would be close to those who need you right now, that you would just put your arms around them, that you would just give them peace. God, that you would just let them feel and know your presence. And God, I just pray that any heart that is listening, that is in the sound of my voice right now, God, I just pray that you would touch them in a mighty way, that you would reveal yourself to them through this song, through this moment, God. And we just lift everything up to you and we ask it in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. And if you're listening to the show right now, maybe you've tuned in entirely by accident, you're in the car and you're thinking, what radio station is this? I just want to say that the Jesus that Emerson and I are talking about absolutely is for you and he loves you. He's totally real and you can have a relationship with him. If you're in the UK, I encourage you to get along to www.findachurch.co.uk. There are loads of great churches that would love to welcome you and hope you know more of God's love. And if you're listening on one of our partner stations worldwide, just connect with the studio and ask them to tell you a great recommendation. I know they'd want to. So Emerson, let's just find out a little bit about your walk with Jesus, because being a Christian is not always a straightforward thing. Can you tell us some of the things that you found easy and some of the things that you found hard about being a Christian?
Absolutely. I think one of the hardest things, I'll start with that first. I think one of the hardest things is, at least for me, because I kind of already mentioned this before, where, you know, I had it all figured out as far as my life plan. This was the job. This was the state I would live in, you know, kind of had it all figured out. And, you know, for me, being a Christian, it's all about picking up our cross every single day and following, you know, God. And where he leads us is not always where we plan to go. And so for me, the hardest thing was jumping into the unknown and going after something that I felt like I knew nothing about, I had no experience in. And I just was like, okay, you know, and it reminded me of the story of Abraham, you know, where he says, basically pick up and go to the city that I will show you. And I was like, how did he do that? I mean, that's like so much faith, you know, and it showed me during that time, like I did not have that kind of faith. It took me a while to trust God in a big way like that and to really see his faithfulness firsthand in my life. But you know, what I realized is, you know, when God calls you to something, just like the disciples, they were kind of the, you know, misfit group. They weren't perfect. They weren't necessarily, their resume didn't fit maybe what God asked them to do. But, you know, in those times, what I realized is that I don't need the resume. God is my resume. He is going to equip me with everything I need for where he's sending me. And so just to trust that and to know that really put me in a place of surrender. And that is one of the hardest, I think, things to do and places to get to, is just full surrender with God and saying, okay, I am trusting you fully with everything. I will go where you lead, you know, because for me, I left a job where I would have had financial security. I left, you know, the hometown that I wanted to be in. I mean, pretty much everything that I felt like I had planned out and that felt secure and safe. And I knew I had to let go of and just trust that God was going to make those ends meet. And he did every single time. And so now what I've learned, the amazing thing about my walk with Jesus since that decision, is he has just been so faithful and so good to me. He has opened so many doors that I feel if I were to doubt him now at this point, it would almost be insulting, you know? But taking that first step towards just surrendering to, and not saying that I have it all figured out either. Let me just say that very openly, that it is a daily, I call it a faith check. You know, people, have you ever heard the expression, like it's a gut check? I don't know.
No. Explain that. What's it mean?
So it's kind of like, you know how you like if you feel something like in your gut, you know what I mean? It's kind of like a gut check. Like,
yeah.
And so I call it like a faith check. And it's almost like every single day I am constantly challenged, where my faith is challenged, where every single day you have to re-surrender. It's not just a one-time thing, right? And so I just wanted to say that every day, you know, is still that battle, because we're human, you know, we're going to fail. And that's why we need God and Jesus's love and his grace. And, you know, but back to, you know, after that decision, seeing God's faithfulness since that time, I just feel so confident now in trusting him. And when I was first a Christian early on, I did not have that confidence. I was still trying to hold on to whatever piece I could in, you know, like, okay, well, I'll give you this part, God, I'll move to this city if I have to, but like, I'm still going to pursue country music, or I'm still going to have this job, or I'm going to, you know, like, I think we always try to pick and choose and customize our calling a little bit in a way that it fits for us. And really what God wants is for you to just throw your hands up and say, here I am, send me, like, you can have all of it. And that has been the hardest and also the most rewarding thing at the same time for me being a Christian. And, you know, I made that decision when I would have been 22, 23, fresh out of college. And so I, again, had a relationship with God my entire life, but I don't feel like I truly dug in with God and figured out what he had for me and what he wanted for me until I was a young adult. And it's taken me, you know, that time to where I'm now, we talked about, you know, 29, to where I'm sitting here kind of like sharing this journey from a place of confidence. So it's taken me quite a few years. But yeah, that's what I would say has been the hardest thing, but it also has been the greatest joy to me as well.
Sweet. Oh, that sounds really helpful and really encouraging. And it sounds like you're in a good place with God, which you always want to be. If you're just going on a Christian music career, you want to make sure you got your foundations really, really sorted. So that's great. Can I ask a question about your husband then? Is your husband a musician?
He is not a musician. He can sing, but he will not admit that he can sing. He won't sing in front of anybody. So he's musical, but not in a professional sense. So he actually is in law enforcement currently. I think you said a copper. Is that what you guys call him? He is.
Yeah, copper. Yeah, copper. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, police person, policeman, or cop, as they say.
Yep.
So let's find out a bit about how on earth did you meet? So what's your husband's name?
His name is Bryce.
And where did you meet him? Did you get arrested?
That. Thankfully, that is not how we met. No, we actually met in college, and I had mentioned before I went and played lacrosse in college, and he actually played football, and it was a very athlete friendly, like
American football.
Yes. American football. I'll specify that. But yeah, he played football. I played lacrosse. And so we found ourselves in the same circles a lot of the time, just because it was a very athlete focused school. And it's funny when I actually like, we went to our first football game, like me and a bunch of my girlfriends from the lacrosse team. We went and we saw one of the first football games, and, you know, they all run out on the field, like, you know, everybody cheers. It's like they start their warmups, that kind of thing. And this one guy ran out and he went right to the 50-yard line and he knelt down and he prayed. And I was like, well, that's cool. I was like, I want to know that guy. Like, that's awesome. And what's funny is, like, I had a crush on this guy in my music class all semester. Well, when he stood up and took his helmet off, it was the same. It was Bryce. The guy I'd been crushing on was Bryce. And the guy that just prayed at the 50-yard line, Bryce. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And we actually had music appreciation together in our first semester of college. So we sat like right next to each other. I knew who he was, like knew he played football, but, you know, I didn't really know him. And then after that, you know, we had more classes together because we were in the same major. So just really got to know each other. We started dating after our first semester, and then we dated all 4 years of college. And then we got married as soon as we graduated college. And this year will be, oh, don't test me, but it will be 6 years now in June that we've been married. So we've been together for 11 years now total, I guess. So
that's pretty cool. And yeah. And what did he say when you got approached on Instagram? And he said, I think there's someone from who's a manager of a record stuff. Oh my goodness, he's a Christian music manager. He's quite significant. He's just reached out to me. What did he say to that?
He was so excited. And he, I can say this, is my biggest fan outside of my mom. He is so proud and supportive and excited about this. And, you know, he views it just as much his ministry as it is mine. I mean, we really view it as this is our ministry to do music and share, you know, the gospel through this way. So he was ecstatic. He's been so on board since day one about this and has been my biggest supporter and fan. So it's been a great journey for the both of us too, just to serve in this way together is really special.
Oh, that sounds really, really good. And really what you need to have a spouse who's going to be absolutely for you, because it's definitely, if this goes well, I'm pretty confident this will go. You are going to be quite busy. You're going to be touring. You're going to be all over the place, and I'm guessing that means you need to know that actually this is something that you're in together and you've both signed up to, but it sounds very much like you have. So that's cool. So what are the things you are most looking forward to over the next couple of years?
I cannot wait to see just how God is going to use these songs. And I can't wait to hear the stories and meet people. What's been so amazing to me since these songs have come out last Friday is I have gotten so many messages in my inbox that have said things like, you know, hey, I was, you know, waiting some medical test results and like this song really encouraged me, or hey, I lost a loved one this week and this song really encouraged me and helped me get through it. I mean, those messages to me is what it's all about. Like, I cannot wait just to see how God is going to use these in a big way to encourage people, to help people. Also, hopefully to introduce himself to some people for these songs. I mean, I hope people could listen to this and, you know, encounter God maybe for the first time, or, you know, maybe it's not the first time, but they just feel like they haven't heard from him in a while or something. And these songs can spark that or ignite that. And I'm just so expectant to see what God is going to do and how he's going to use these songs to touch people in their everyday lives.
That's got to be what it's all about, yeah. Isn't it? It's about actually the impact that Jesus has through your music. So your three tracks, they just went on to digital streaming platforms, so Spotify, etc. The 8th of March, 2024. If people are listening to this on some sort of podcast in the future or something, that's the date that they just hit. But they're not out on radio yet. And your profile on Spotify just has those three tracks. Now, I'm guessing though, you've been writing your own songs for a while, I guess. Was it basically that everything gets cleared and cleaned and you're starting fresh from this point?
Yeah. So I've been writing, like I said, for as long as I think I've been able to sing. And so I've had so many, like my catalog, I feel like is thick, right? Like I have so many songs that we went through and weeded through and perfected, to get to the point of releasing these three. And, so yeah, anything that was say previously done, like we just kind of clean slated, because I just wanted these messages to be so clear and just at the forefront of what, you know, we were trying to do. And we put so many hours, countless hours and sleepless nights, and, you know, just every micro detail, we left no stone unturned with these three songs. And I could not be more proud of how they turned out. And, you know, that is, I think, like as an artist, you couldn't ask for a better feeling. Putting out music is just having no regrets and just kind of turning it over and putting it into God's hands and letting him use it. But yeah, and writing, you know, has always been a big part of my life. I still write every single day. Like, just because music is out, it doesn't mean that I can like turn that switch off, you know? So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to, you know, honestly hit the ground running with more stuff too, but I'm just ready to also take some time to kind of bask in this, to sit in this with these new releases, enjoy them, be thankful for them. And then, like I said, let God, you know, do with them what he wants.
What are the things you're going to put in place to make sure that you don't get so business focused that you lose sight of the reason you did this in the first place, which is following Jesus' nudges?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the biggest things is, you know, there is a lot of noise, I think, that comes into play or that happens whenever you're just like kind of, I described, working on these songs, you know, like you're trying to make sure that every detail is perfect. You know, you're listening to outside influences, you're, you know, and like kind of you're alluding to in the future, if say like we do get more monthly listeners, you know, that's also like noise kind of coming in. And I think as long as the main thing is the main thing, which is, I'm here to glorify Jesus. I'm here to, everything that I do, I want it to point back to him, not point back to me. Right. So as long as the main thing is the main thing, I think, and your perspective and your focus is on that, I think it can stay true to that. And, you know, it's something Bryce and I have talked about too, because I think a big part of it also is having accountability and having somebody that's willing to call you out if the main thing isn't the main thing, you know? And I'm really trusting him in that, in our relationship too, that he would have my back and say, hey, I don't think we're handling this the right way. Or, hey, I think we need to reevaluate and kind of get, you know, look through a different lens with this situation or whatever it may be. And he's really good about that and leading us in that direction. And, you know, my friends, the team that I work with, I mean, I've all told them the same thing, like, hey, I am not offended. If you want to call me out, if you want to, you know, keep me in check, like I'm going to do the same for you. I would expect that you would do the same for me. So, I think that's part of it is really trusting your team and the people that you have around you, but also just knowing that I'm here to serve, not, you know, at whatever stage I'm on or whatever platform that I have, I just want to make sure that it always points back to really the main star here, which is Jesus. That's why I'm here. So
do you know, I guess there's a road plan behind the scenes somewhere. Kai and his team will be mapping out, this is what we're aiming to do, this is where it's going, and these are the plans, and Jason etc is going to be going, yep, we'll do this. So have you been in those meetings, and can you tell us what is the plan? So June, those three tracks are going to radio. So obviously we've got them early, but in June they'll be hitting the airwaves, which will be great for you. And then what's the plan?
Yeah. So right now we are planning, you know, a few fun things. We have maybe some music video things in the works that I'm excited about. We've got some photo shoot things happening, like all the fun behind the scenes stuff that takes place. And then, yeah, with music, you know, I'm hoping that we can meet some radio stations in person, that I can go and actually, you know, meet people all across the country and kind of introduce myself and, you know, be able to share this message and this song with people. And then when June hits, I'm really, again, expectant to see what God is going to do, but I'm super hopeful that this song, you know, would make an impact at radio in a big way, because I ultimately think that is the biggest way to reach people. And I know that firsthand, because for me, we actually grew up listening to Christian radio, like on our way to school every single day, that was what was playing. And I can remember the songs that would get stuck in my head, like Casting Crowns and 10th Avenue North and Third Day. And, you know, as a kid, if that's what's stuck in your head throughout the whole day, like what an encouragement, like what a foundation. And I want to be able to give that to other people through these songs. And so my hope and my prayer is that when these do go to radio in June, that it would make an impact in a big way and they would be able to reach people. But that's kind of what's next. Like I said, I'm just excited for whatever's next, whatever may come. I'm ready. I'm excited. So we'll see.
Brilliant. That is great news though. Looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to, I'm guessing behind the scenes, you're also working on those other songs that you got your big catalog, but you think probably, oh, this one is also something that might be good for the future. Oh, yeah. And things like that. So I'm really hoping that God will guide you on your journey of bringing forwards more material as well, because that'd be great. Now, obviously I've mentioned numbers of people that you've got alongside you on the record label. Are there plans to tour, do some more collaborations? Can you speak about that at all? Or is that all secret?
Yeah, I don't think it's secret. So I'll just say, I don't have anything major in the works right now. I've got a few shows that will be coming up in the summer that are kind of sporadic here and there. There's no like tour whispers yet. That hasn't come down the pipeline for me yet. Not saying that it won't necessarily, but nothing as of now. So I'm looking to just, you know, play those songs in the summer and, or those shows in the summer and see how they go. And then, yeah, I would love, I mean, if any tour offers, you know, came my way, obviously that would be amazing. One of the greatest things about being an artist is getting to meet people in a live setting and hear their stories firsthand. And, that's one of my favorite things about being on the road and playing shows is meeting people. So I hope that I get to do that more this summer and this fall. But yeah, as of right now, the only collaboration is, you know, the Micah Tyler, People Like Us that you've heard. And then, yeah, we're just kind of sitting back and waiting to see what happens this fall.
See where it goes. Yeah. That sounds good. Okay. Now, you mentioned about traveling around the country for reference. You're talking about traveling around the USA, I'm going to guess when you say that.
Yeah.
Have you ever been outside of the US?
I have been to Mexico, and that is it, actually. That's the only, we went to a vacation I'm sorry, two places. I went to Mexico on vacation, and then we went to the Dominican Republic for a honeymoon on vacation. So I've been out of the country twice, but I have not made it to where you are. One day, I would love to do that, though.
Yeah, get over the pond. That would be good. So, but I've got to say, America is a very big place, and often when I speak to artists, they don't seem to have traveled as much as some nations do. Right. So, but most of the ones I speak to in Nashville tend to spend a lot of time around the US because it's such a huge market. Oh. But there are probably going to be fans all around Europe just waiting for the time that you can come and tour. I think Skillet actually are probably the people who come most regularly on tours to Europe. So they're great. But anyway, okay, I'd like to know a little bit about what things you do to connect with Jesus. Other than just singing.
Yeah. So part of my daily routine actually is I'll get up in the morning, I'll make my coffee. And like the first thing that I do is I'll sit down with my Bible in the morning. And I just feel like the word of God is really what keeps me centered, keeps me grounded. It's also where a lot of my inspiration comes for writing and for songs. I feel like that's the well in which like I want to draw from. And so I think staying in the word is one of the most important things. And I've just learned, you know, the older that I've gotten and the more that I've read it, it really is a living text. It comes to life every single time. And there could be something that I've read, kind of like the Jeremiah 29:11 that I brought up. I've heard that my whole life. It's been a staple verse. I've read it how many times, but then the one day it was different and something made me go to verse 10. And I think like that is how, you know, God speaks to us. And the second way is staying involved with my church locally. And, you know, I think a lot of times as an artist, when you're up on the stage and say you're performing or you're writing, like you're trying to pour out right into other people, but it's also good to be poured into and not to negate that fact of our spiritual life too. So it's nice to just go and worship with other people, you know, in the audience and just kind of be and, you know, have that time with God. And then the third thing that I do is I connect with God the most when I am in nature and just outside. I love to just be outside and go for a walk or go sit by the water or whatever it is. There's just something about nature that makes me feel closest to God, and just to pray out there and just, you know, ask questions and whatever it is I've got going on. I just feel like I get such clarity when I spend time with God out in nature. And you know, those are kind of my three big things that really keep me grounded and in tuned, I feel like, with God. And not saying that it's perfect every time. Like there are some days where I feel like, you know, I got too busy or I missed it here and there. But if you always go back to that, I just think that there's such, I'm going to use the word grounding again, because I feel like that's kind of what it is for me. Like it just keeps me where I need to be, you know, it keeps me spiritually fed. And so that's been really important for me and kind of, you know, what I do for that.
You mentioned the Bible. Not what's your favorite Bible verse, but what's your favorite Bible story with maybe something that's spoken significantly and why?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Wow, there's so many that you know, what's funny is I feel like different stories speak to me at different times in my life. So I will just say that, like, I kind of, depending on where I am, my favorite may change or what speaks to me may change. But I've always loved the story of David and Goliath for different reasons. But I think the biggest thing for me right now is I was kind of talking about that whole equipping thing and how you feel like with music, I felt unprepared. I felt a little bit like inadequate for this. Yet nothing goes to waste with God. All of my athletic experience has come back into play and has been used towards this music journey. Like the different leadership roles that I've had, whether that would be academically or in my job or again, sports, like that has all come back into play. And it really spoke to me how, you know, David didn't just show up that day for battle and just all of a sudden had this great skill and took down Goliath. Like he was out in the fields taking down, you know, lions and bears and protecting his sheep. And even though that it wasn't a direct correlation, like God prepared him for that through that. And so I just related to that. And that was really encouraging to me that it's like, okay, like I can see where God has given me some tools and been preparing me for this, even though it was not a direct correlation, you know, to music. And then I just love David's heart to where he knew it almost wasn't him. He was like, this battle is the Lord's, you know? And it's like, man, if I can keep that attitude every single time, you know, that I'm faced with something, like trusting God, but also trusting the experiences and the things that he has equipped me with for this. And just knowing that, you know, I know where my strength comes from or my help comes from. It's not always, I don't have to do it all the time myself and everything. Like, it can come from God. And that, I think, was kind of the, I would say, like, the story that I resonated with maybe the most here recently. But I mean, I do feel like it changes depending on the season, what my favorite is.
Oh, well, that was a great example. Thank you very much. Now, I talked earlier about your followers and things like that. I'm guessing people now might be thinking, hey, I like this Emerson Day. I've liked the music I've heard. I've liked her story. She sounds like she could be someone good who might give me some good input. Where do people connect with you? How do they find you?
All of my socials, it's Emerson Day Music on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of that. And then also my website, which is emersondaymusic.com. So any updates will be put on there. But pretty much my everyday is on my socials. So I would love to connect with you on my Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, any of those.
Now, we've got time for one more track from you. It's God Ain't Finished. Tell us all about the track.
Yes, this track I'm so excited about because it's just the moment of hope, and it's just an anthem. And it was for me. Like, I just found that the more I sang that, the more encouraged I was. Like, anytime that I felt like I was doubting God or the situation that I was in, if I was frustrated, if I was questioning, it's almost like I couldn't be frustrated every time I sang God Ain't Finished Yet. The more I sang that, the more encouraged I was. And I actually wrote that song a while back, and it just became, again, like this anthem for me and a reminder that, you know, even if I don't see where God is taking me, or, you know, if I've been praying for something for a while and I feel like I hadn't received it yet, it doesn't mean that behind the scenes he's not working. And the more that I sang it, the more I believed it. And I felt like my faith just was encouraged. And so I hope that anyone listening to this today would also feel the same way, that no matter where you're at in your story, God has big plans for you and God ain't finished yet. This ain't how the story ends. I got a hope, a future, a purpose. I woke up and I'm breathing again. So God ain't finished. God ain't finished yet.
That was God Ain't Finished by Emerson Day. And what a joy to speak to. I really hope you enjoyed her stories and her music. I'm so looking forward to seeing where God will take her on this great adventure that she's on with him. And of course, there are many other interviews with loads of great artists, loads of great music, and other stories to inspire and share their faith and help encourage you to get close to God on the Artist Interview podcast. So just go to your favorite podcast platform, search that up. And maybe do us a favor, maybe like it, review it. If you enjoy it, maybe give it a good review. If you don't like it, maybe don't worry about it. But, you know, share it with your friends as well. There's so much blessing. You know, there's so much goodness in the stories that these artists share. And we really want as many people to be blessed as possible. I'm your host, Gordon T. It's been my honor to be with you today. And I look forward to joining you on the next episode of The Artist Interview.